Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Pastor Andy, and it is good to welcome you into worship this morning at Faith Community United Methodist Church. As we join in worship and as we join with our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world in the celebration of World Communion Sunday, we are going to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion this morning, and we are once again using these prepackaged kits, and hopefully you got one as you came in. If you didn't, I'd just invite you to go over to the table over here and get one. The ushers are not going to be passing them out. And just a reminder about how to open these, or a lesson for you if you weren't here last time when we had these. There are two covers on this. The first cover is a clear plastic that's pretty hard to see, and you just lift up that part to take it off for the bread, and that will give you the bread that's in there. And then the other tab, you take that tab off to open it up for the juice. The juice is underneath there. So when it's time for the bread, make sure that you don't pull the whole tab off, but you just get that clear plastic top part that's right at the top there. Take that off for the bread, and then we will move on to the juice. We will receive this together at the end of the service during our time of communion, but I just wanted you to kind of have an idea of how these work so that you're ready when we come to that time. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in our call to worship. We meet in different buildings and in different towns. We wear different clothing and have different talents.
Yet, as we worship today, we are one body.
The Lord has made us one family in Christ.
Let us join with all our brothers and sisters in worship and true communion this day.
Let us join in singing our opening hymn, We Are the Church, verses 1, 2, and 4. Church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. I am the church. You are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it's saying, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. Please be seated. I invite you now to join with me in praying together our opening prayer. Loving Father, we confess that we are so busy putting up walls between ourselves that we cannot see the home you are building for all of us. We spend so much time noting the differences between us while you embrace all kinds as your own. We welcome those who look and talk and act like us, and you throw open the doors to the stranger in our midst. Forgive us, Lord. By your grace, Help us to see the household you are building for all people, where there are no rooms that are off limits, and even the smallest child is welcome to sit at the big people's table. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear who among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What, do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of prayer this morning is "One Bread, One Body." Let us sing together the first verse. One Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Gentile or Jew, servant or free, woman or man, no more. One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this one Lord. Let us bow for prayer. Gracious God, we are indeed one body, one with each other, one in you, because of that sacrifice that you made to draw us into your presence, to invite us into your body. Lord, you have broken down all the divisions among us. Thank you for making us one. And forgive us for when we begin to build those divisions up once again. When we put walls between us, when we distinguish one from another as one better and one worse. Lord, forgive us for our judgments. Bring us back together again as your people, as your body. Lord, we pray for those who are ill this day. And Lord, we join with the rest of the country as we pray for our president and first lady as they are battling the coronavirus. Lord, we pray for a full and speedy healing for them. We pray for a full and speedy healing for all people who have been affected by this terrible plague among us. And Lord, we ask for your protection upon us. Keep us safe. Keep us healthy. Heal those who are sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Enlighten those who are lost. Shelter those who are in danger. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon your church throughout the world, that we might truly live out your calling to be your body in this world. We pray these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we offer to you now the prayer that he teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
As you are the strong and pure. You are placed at the table forever secure. Ask all who hunger to join with you there. For this room at the banquet.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this past week, I was involved in an online retreat for a continuing education program that I'm part of. I admit to you that I wasn't really looking forward to this retreat. It didn't really feel like much of a retreat to me. Being in online meetings all day for 3 days did not make me feel refreshed and energized. It drains me. Parts of the retreat were spent in general sessions with people from different parts of the country in different years of the program, about 60 or 70 people altogether. And part of the retreat was spent in breakout sessions with our own small group that we've been working closely together with for 2 years now. Tuesday morning, when it was time to go into a breakout session, there was a glitch with Zoom. Zoom is the online platform on which we have these meetings, and there was a glitch with Zoom on Tuesday morning. We were supposed to be going into our breakout group, but I found that I was sitting there in a breakout room all by myself. Nobody else, just me. And I'll tell you, my first thought was, well, this isn't so bad. I'm one of those people who could sit in a room all by myself all day long and be perfectly content. And I was tempted to sit in that breakout room all by myself for as long as I could possibly get away with it. But then I realized I wasn't going to learn anything that way. I need to be with other people who think differently than I do, who respond to things differently than I do, who see things through a different lens, who stretch me theologically and intellectually, who challenge me to grow. I was not going to be able to accomplish what God wants me to accomplish sitting in a room all by myself. So I left that isolated breakout room, as did everybody else who was stuck in their own isolated breakout rooms. We came back together as a community, and we figured out a new plan for moving forward together as community. God created us for community. God has invited us into community. As John Wesley used to observe, the Bible knows no such thing as a solitary Christian. Today is World Communion Sunday, the first Sunday of October, established as World Communion Sunday many years ago by the World Council of Churches, is a day on which Christians of every different denomination in every country around the world are encouraged to partake in the sacrament of Holy Communion. There are some churches, some denominations that partake in the sacrament every Sunday or every time they gather for worship. There are others that take it once a month. There are still others that have Holy Communion maybe only two or three times a year. But regardless of background or tradition, World Communion Sunday is a time for all of us to participate together. That's not to say that every Christian or every church is aware of and participates in World Communion Sunday, but it's an attempt to cut through the theological and sociological and governmental barriers that often come between various churches, and to recognize our shared faith in the gospel, our shared salvation in Jesus Christ, our shared standing before God, and our union with one another as the body of Christ. That is what the sacrament of communion reminds us, that we are all made one in Christ. The word communion literally means united with. By God's grace, through faith, we are united with Christ. And by being united with Christ, we are likewise united with all others who are in Christ. No matter their denomination, no matter their country, no matter their language or race or gender, all are made one in Christ. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are made one in Christ Jesus. That is the truth and the grace and the promise that we acknowledge when we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Or at least that's the way it's supposed to be. We don't always get it right. That's nothing new. Christians have been getting it wrong from the very beginning. That's the case with our scripture reading for today from 1 Corinthians. In this part of his letter to the Corinthians, Paul talked about their practice of receiving the Lord's Supper, and he tells them that they're getting it all wrong. In fact, he comes right out and tells them in verse 20, when you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. You may call it the Lord's Supper, but it's not. He tells them in verse 27, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be answerable to the body and blood of the Lord. And then in verse 29, for all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. That's a scary thought. There was a woman in one of my previous churches that never took communion because of these very verses. She was so terrified that she was unworthy to take it, and if she did, then she would be condemning herself. But notice that Paul does not say, if you are unworthy to take it. He says, if you take it in an unworthy manner. None of us are worthy to take it. That's the point of grace. That's the message of the gospel. None of us are worthy of God. None of us are worthy of anything that he's done for us. But he does it anyway. He saves us anyway. He invites us to the table anyway. That's grace. But still, the threat of partaking in an unworthy manner. It's a scary thought. If you do it wrong in an unworthy way, if you fail to discern what it is you are doing, then you are bringing condemnation upon yourself. These verses have led to all kinds of precautions guarding the sacraments. In the Roman Catholic Church, you're not allowed to receive the Eucharist if you're not Catholic. The reason being that they believe in transubstantiation, the belief that the bread literally becomes the body of Jesus, the wine literally becomes the blood of Jesus. And if you haven't gone through Catholic catechism and accepted that doctrine, then they believe you're not properly discerning the body, as verse 29 says. There are other churches as well where you have to be a member of that particular church or that particular denomination in order to receive. Otherwise, you might not be properly discerning. And they believe that the communion celebrates their union with all who properly believe just like they do. If you don't believe just as they do, then you can't be considered one with them, and so you shouldn't participate. They believe that their church is the one true church, and if you're not a part of them, then you're not truly a part of Christ. That's one way of protecting the sacrament. But it kind of ignores the context of what Paul is actually talking about in this letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were a particularly difficult bunch for Paul. They had a lively faith, but they also had a number of problems, not least of which was their pride and the social distinctions that they allowed to divide them one from another. There were very wealthy Christians in Corinth who had everything a person living in those days could possibly want. There were very poor Christians in Corinth, people who regularly went without, people who had next to nothing but their faith. The manner of worship in the earliest days of the faith was nothing like what we know of as worship today. For starters, they didn't have church buildings. They met in people's homes. Wherever people gathered in faith, that was the church. That's what the word church, ecclesia, meant, gathering. Christians gathered together in someone's home, and that was church. They also did not draw clear distinctions like we do today between worship time and study time and fellowship time. It all kind of happened together. They'd gather in someone's home and read the Old Testament scriptures together, or maybe read a letter from Paul or another apostle. They would exhort one another, teach one another, they would fellowship, and they would eat. And in their eating, of course, they shared bread and wine. And as they ate the bread, they remembered that Jesus had said, "This is my body that is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as they drank the wine, they remembered Jesus saying, "As often as you drink of this, remember me." That's how they received the Lord's Supper. Not through isolated liturgy and a small piece of bread and a tiny shot of juice, but through the bread and the wine of their fellowship meal. Here's the problem, though. It wasn't truly a communal meal. Remember, the Corinthians defined themselves by sharp social distinctions. The church gatherings were, of course, held in the most wealthy homes, homes spacious enough to accommodate such gatherings. The poorer members were often not even welcomed into those homes, or they didn't feel welcomed into those homes. If they were invited in, it was only after the wealthier members had already eaten their fill and drunken themselves into a stupor. The rich brought succulent meals of their own, and they didn't offer any to those who didn't have any meals to bring. The rich were being gluttonous with the food and getting drunk off the wine, while the poor were going completely without. And they called that the Lord's Supper. Imagine if we here at Faith Community decided to have a potluck. We invited everybody to come to this potluck. And when it came time to eat, we said, "Okay, everyone who brought two or more dishes, you go first. Take as much as you want." And after they had filled themselves to the gills, we said, "Now those of you who only brought one dish, you go next." And they went through the line. They filled themselves on what was left. And then we said to those who hadn't brought anything to the potluck, because they couldn't afford to bring anything to the potluck, "Well, if there's anything left over, you can have it. There's probably not, though, because you didn't bring anything. Thanks for nothing." And then imagine that we said that this potluck, where those who began with plenty were filled and those who began with nothing were left empty, we said, "This is the Lord's Supper. This is the sign of God's grace in Jesus Christ. This is our oneness with Christ and with each other." Paul says, "Oh, no, it's not. It's a disgrace to the gospel," is what that is. That is why Paul tells us, tells the Corinthians, when you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. With that context in mind, listen again to what Paul says to the Corinthians. "When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another gets drunk. What, do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those with nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this I do not commend you." They were making divisions where there was supposed to be unity. They failed to discern that the body of Christ includes each and every person equally, without distinction, without privileging one over another. Now, we follow Paul's direction to eat in our own homes, and when we do have meals together as a church, everybody is welcome to partake the same regardless of what they did or did not bring. No one's singled out. No one's sent away hungry. When we celebrate communion, all are welcome to receive the same bread and the same juice. No one is made to feel unworthy, except to the extent that all of us are unworthy. Christ invites us regardless, and in our practice of open communion and open table, we recognize that open invitation of Christ, that grace extended to all. Still, though, it would be good for us to consider Paul's exhortation in verse 28. "Examine yourselves, and only then eat the bread and drink of the cup." Examine yourselves. Consider your own spiritual condition this morning. Consider what it is you're doing when we share the bread and the cup. Are there sins that you need to confess now before you receive? Are there divisions in your heart keeping you cut off from the rest of the body that you need God to heal before you can partake in truth and in faith? The sacrament of communion, especially on this World Communion Sunday, but really every time we take it, it's a sign to the world of our oneness in Christ, that Jesus Christ unites us across everything else in this world that seeks to divide us. Holy Communion celebrates the oneness of Christians across every boundary of country or denomination, race, gender, age, job, socioeconomic status, political philosophy. No matter any of these other things, we are all made equal, all made one in Jesus Christ. Do we really believe that? Do we really live that? Examine yourselves. Are you able to discern that oneness in the body with all other Christians when we eat the bread, when we drink the juice? Our society is so focused on the things that divide us. Consider just a few examples. Are you getting tripped up in any of these and dividing the body? There are people out there fighting against systemic racism, working for racial justice, and there are other people who deny that race is even an issue. Now, it's not just that those two groups have different experiences and see things differently. It's that they actually hate each other. They actually take glee when someone from the other side gets hurt. I've heard it said even in the church. I've heard people in the church say, I hope those people get what's coming to them. In the church. In the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races, political backgrounds, struggles. People argue over whether the violence of left-wing Antifa or the violence of right-wing white supremacists is worse. What a ridiculous argument. Violence is violence. Attacking another person, causing personal harm, is anti-Christian no matter what politics inspired it. Any violence formed in hate is a desecration of the gospel. Have we really gotten to a place in society where defending a political position is more important than condemning violence in all forms? I watched the presidential debate on Tuesday evening, as I'm sure many of you did. I won't say the word that was most often used to describe it. General consensus was that it was a disgrace all around. I was reminded, though, by a Facebook post, of all things, that what we saw on the stage Tuesday night was not an isolated event. It wasn't just two people going at each other. That debate was a reflection of us. That debate held up a mirror to our churches, to our homes, to our relationships. That ugliness is us. I personally was convicted by that because I know it to be true. If you feel a stronger kinship with someone who agrees with your politics, regardless of their faith, rather than with a fellow Christian who happens to vote for the other side of the aisle, then your loyalties are in the wrong place, my friends. If being an American defines you more than being a Christ follower, that is idolatry. If you are a Democrat or a Republican before you are a disciple of Jesus, then you are not truly discerning the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not defined by these things. The world is divided by these things. The body of Christ is one. One. We are all made one in Christ. before we eat the bread and drink the cup, we have to examine ourselves. We have to confess our sins. We have to repent, to turn away, to revoke all of those wedges that we allow to divide us as a people. And if your response to that is to say, well, I would be willing to do that if they, hold on now. Time out. Take a moment. Step back. Try it again. Examine yourself. But he said, no, no. Examine yourself. But she did, examine yourself. Examine yourself. What are you allowing to divide you one from another? What harsh feelings, what hate, what unchristian passions are you harboring in your heart? Whether you think they're justified or not, Christ calls you to grace and forbearance. Christ calls us to oneness in Him. We have to repent, to turn away from, to revoke all of those wedges that we allow to divide us as a people. Then, and only then, can we truly, faithfully celebrate this sacrament that brings us together as one. Amen. As we prepare for the sacrament of Holy Communion, I'd invite you to join in singing the first verse of Take Our Bread. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives. Oh Father, we are yours, we are yours. Yours as we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget. We are the sign of your life with us yet. We are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you. Take our hearts, we love you. Take our lives, oh Father, we are yours, we are yours. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth, and in your sacrifice made us one with you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations. And today his family and all the world is joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This time I invite you to take out the bread. The body of Christ, broken for you, take and eat in remembrance of him. And now open the juice. The cup of salvation poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ. Take and drink in remembrance of him. O Lord, we give you thanks for this holy sacrament in which you have fed us with your grace once again. You have invited us into your sacrifice once again that we may die to ourselves, that we may receive life in you. Thank you, Lord, for putting to death our sin, for raising us to new life in your presence and by your Spirit. Continue your Holy Spirit upon us and within us, inspiring us to holy living in your name. Thank you for making us one in your body. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and join in singing our closing hymn, "I Come with Joy." We're singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.
I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free, in awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for me, his life laid down for me. I come with Christians far and near to find us all our fed, the new community of love, in Christ's communion bread, in Christ's communion bread. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends, and strangers now are friends. Together met, together bound, we'll go our different ways. And as his people in the world, will live and speak his praise. He'll live and speak his praise.
We will indeed, as we go our different ways, live and speak his praise, remembering that we are together bound as one in him. Go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.